This is Doug Miller. Any religion that urges people to kill people who disagree with them is not the kind of religion I want anything to do with. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are privileged to be back with you one more time this side of eternity with the Bible in hand, ready to speak into this microphone with the sure and certain knowledge that the Word is going out to many and that lives are being touched and changed. The Lord God will always honor His Word. It will not return to Him void. We are in the 21st chapter of Acts. We'll take it up at verse 27 today, so bring your Bibles, come along, open up, call a friend to tell them, and listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this Word go out. And as you've heard me say many times, to that end, we are absolutely dependent upon our listeners and interested parties, those with an interest in Dialogue. We need your prayers. We cannot function without your prayers. Or we can function, yeah. I can get up here and make noises, but it will have no power. It will have no clout. It will affect nothing without the prayers of the saints. So please pray for Dialogue. Tell others about us. And we would love to hear from you. Our mailing address is Dialogue, P.O. Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. If you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it out to you again at the end of the broadcast. Always a pleasure to hear from our listeners, to help you in any way that we can, to provide you with any materials that we can. Anything we do for you is absolutely a no-strings-attached thing. We don't come back to you and put your name on a mailing list or do those kind of things that, frankly, always irritate me. And if they irritate me, I wouldn't want to do them to someone else. So we don't do it that way. Let us hear from you. If you want to email us, it's Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. That's Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. And our webpage, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. Dialogueministries.org. You can, you know, pick up the broadcasts and listen to them and read about Dialogue, so on and so forth. If you wish to talk to me, I'd be glad to talk to you. Our telephone number is area code 405-535-9089. I don't have a secretary, not going to have one, but if you'll call and leave a message, I'll get back with you. Now, this is the May 12 broadcast, and if you are in the Oklahoma City area and listening, there is probably still time for you to get your Bible, jump in your car, drive into downtown Oklahoma City to the Character Inn, which is in the 500 block of West Main, just west of Walker. Our conference is going on. It will begin at 10 o'clock. And the subject is God through with national Israel? We've been talking about this one over the radio for some time now. It's going on right now, so hustle on down. And you can turn on Dialogue on your car radio and listen to it on the way down. All right. I said at the first of this broadcast, any religion that urges people to kill people who disagree with them is not the kind of religion I want anything to do with. And, of course, that's most of them. That's most of them, including Christianity, at some time or another, have done this sort of thing. And this is dreadful. This is dreadful. You look at the butchery and the killing that has gone on. Christians killing other Christians, Catholics and Protestants, the 30-year war in Central Europe absolutely devastated Germany, wiped out, you know, something like half the population. And of course, you look at the look at what the Muslims have done, and look at what they're doing right now. And all of this in the name of God and love and the honor of the prophet. Well, I'm not buying any of it. If you have to kill people to make your point, you have got nothing going on, and you need to find some another belief. And that goes for anyone listening to me. I don't care who you are. This is dreadful. But this is about what religion always does. Religion is a terrible thing. Now, I think of the Jews, and all of you who know anything about me know that I am extremely pro-Jewish. If you don't believe it, come down to the conference that's going on right now and listen to what I have to say about the nation of Israel. The Jews have, over the years, been the object of a great deal of violence and hatred, and many of them have been killed by, you know, Christians, by Muslims, and so on and so forth. But it hurts me to have to tell you this, but I've got to tell you the truth. The Jews have done their share of killing and butchery over the years, too. Religion. You want to see it? Let's take a look at it here, beginning with verse 27 in chapter 21 of the book of Acts. When the 7 days were almost ended, what 7 days? Well, the 7 days we were talking about last time. Paul had gone down to Jerusalem, or up to Jerusalem, really, is the proper way of saying it. That's how it was always said, because Jerusalem's kind of up in the in a higher elevation. So you go up to Jerusalem. He'd gone up to Jerusalem with some of the brethren, and he had been warned by the Holy Ghost repeatedly not to go up there. He went anyway. The first thing he does when he gets there, James advises him to go down, shave his head, take a vow, and, you know, go through this 7 days of purification and all of this in the temple. And he does it. Here we have the man who wrote the letter to the Galatians, and who was himself always careful to tell people that the law does not save anyone. It cannot save. And, you know, to be under the works of the law or under a curse, well, here he is. He goes up to Jerusalem. The first thing he does is get himself entangled in this legal thing, which may have been okay. You know, he was a Jew, after all, and one might argue that, well, he did it himself. He certainly didn't advise Gentiles to do it, nor did he allow anyone else to strap the law down on Gentiles. But nevertheless, here he is. He's going through this 7-day purification, and that's what we're talking about here in verse 27 of Acts 21. When the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews, which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him, crying out, "Men of Israel, help! This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place, and further brought Greeks also into the temple and hath polluted this holy place." Well, I don't think this is true. I don't think Paul had been going around teaching people against the law and against this, you know, the temple and all of this. I think what he had done, and he did this repeatedly, he had told people that there is no salvation in trying to keep the law. You can't keep it, for one thing. And even if you could keep it, no flesh will glory in his presence. Salvation is by grace through faith. And this, of course, was Paul's teaching. And if these guys wanted to think, well, he's teaching against the temple in this place and so on and so forth, what he was really teaching against were Jewish traditions. And tradition is very powerful. It is a powerful thing. We all know this. We all understand it real well. And, of course, different people have their traditions, and they feel very strongly about them. I was listening to some music earlier today from Fiddler on the Roof. And I got thinking about that movie and the song, one of the early songs in the movie, Tradition, which the father sings. And it's all about Jewish tradition. And, of course, a part of the story is that this man could never get past his traditions. He can put up with a lot. There are a lot of things that are changing in his world. But when his daughter marries a Gentile, boy, that does it. That does it. She is dead as far as he's concerned. And here we have, once again, this tradition. Now, notice this also. They say he brought Greeks into this temple and polluted this holy place. Well, you know what the prophets wrote. This place, the temple, shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. Okay? This is something that all the people are going to be involved in. We've got a great time coming. It's called the Millennial Kingdom. And I will assure you that all nations at that time will flow up to Jerusalem. And the Messianic Temple will stand on the Holy Mount, the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. And Messiah will reign. And if you think that Gentiles are not going to be involved in all of these blessings, guess again, they certainly will. And even beyond that, look, God loves Gentiles. God doesn't just love the Jews and he hates Gentiles. God has no particular group that he loves more than another. For all of you out there, if you are Muslim, God loves you. The Lord Jesus Christ came and gave his life. He died for you. Salvation is by grace through faith in him. And you can get that thing settled. But these individuals, they don't understand this. In the first place, Paul didn't bring a Greek into the temple. Look at verse 29. For they had seen before with him in the city Trophimus, an Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. Well, he didn't, but that's what they thought. And here, and they are angry. After all, these unclean dog Gentiles, imagine one of them coming into the temple. Well, we read in verse 30 that all the city was moved and the people ran together and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple and forthwith the doors were shut. And as they went about to kill him, oh, really? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. They were very serious about this. Paul was within an inch of having his life taken away from him here. And they were going to kill him, but tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. Now, this is a Roman soldier who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating of Paul. Now, here's old Paul, and boy, he's up against it again, as per usual. Seems like everywhere he goes, he gets in trouble. But here he's in trouble from his own people, the Jews. He's in trouble because they hate him. He's in trouble because the only thing I can think of that's gotten him in trouble is that he is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has made it very clear to these Gentiles that he's preached the gospel to that they do not have to keep the Mosaic law. And he's in trouble here. Well, we read, however, that the chief captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains and demanded who he was and what he had done. Well, that's about the way it works, isn't it? He's the one who's getting beaten about the head and shoulders, and the captain wants to blame it on him. What have you done anyway? Well, there are plenty of people around willing to tell him, aren't there? Some cried one thing, some another among the multitude. And when he could not know the certainty for the tumult, he commanded him to be carried into the castle. And when he came upon the stairs, so it was that he was borne of the soldiers for the violence of the people. For the multitude of the people followed after, crying, "Away with him." Look, these guys are mad. And Paul is the object of this hatred. And once again, if you think they weren't going to kill him, guess again, that's exactly what they were going to do. And they show this desire to kill him more than once as this story unfolds farther. Notice in verse 37 now, "And as Paul was to be led into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, 'May I speak unto thee?' Who said, 'Canst thou speak Greek?'" Well, I'm sure that he is somewhat surprised at this. But of course Paul could speak Greek. Greek was his mother tongue. Greek was from Tarsus, which was a Greek-speaking city in what is now Turkey. And he had grown up speaking Greek. You've heard me say this on here before, but it's worth saying again. Greek was, of course, the language that was sort of the international lingua franca here, and the Romans and the Jews always spoke Greek to one another if the Jew could speak Greek. Latin was certainly not the language they used. It was Greek. Can you speak Greek? "And art not thou that Egyptian which before these days madest an uproar and leddest out into the wilderness 4,000 men that were murderers?" Well, a little case of mistaken identity here, right? The Jews were wrong about him bringing a Greek into the temple. This Roman is wrong about who he is. And Paul says in verse 39, "I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people." And when he had given him license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with the hand unto the people. And when there was made a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying. All right, let's just stop it right there. We're obviously at the end of chapter 21, but we'll go on into chapter 22. But just notice here, Paul is speaking Greek to this Roman soldier, this officer. Now he begins speaking to the people in Hebrew. And we have no reason at all to believe that he didn't know Latin. He was a man of considerable intelligence and learning and linguistic skill. So now he's going to talk to these Jews in Hebrew. "Men, brethren, and fathers," right into chapter 22. "Hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you." And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue, or dialect, dialecto is the Greek here, to them they kept the more silence. And he saith, "I am verily a man which am a Jew born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God as ye all are this day." Well, I think this is a pretty good way to begin his talk, don't you? "I'm one of you, and I was in many ways just like you, and even more so." Now, Gamaliel, this is not the first time we've encountered Gamaliel, is it? We saw him way back in the early part of the book of Acts when he is the one, if you will recall, who defended Peter and John, when they were picked up and were threatened. And he is a man. He was a man. He was a teacher. Obviously, this is what Paul says here. And and not only was he a teacher, but he was highly respected. Incidentally, you get the story of this Gamaliel earlier in the fifth chapter of the book of Acts in verse 33 on down to the end. He was a doctor of the law and had, according to the book here, in reputation among all the people. So here is a man highly respected. And when you think of, you know, I was brought up in this city. I was born up there, but I was raised here. I was educated and sat at the feet of Gamaliel. Now, that's got to carry some weight. That has got to carry some weight in this crowd, because here was a man well known. And Paul, in saying this, indicates just how well educated he was. This would be, I think, the equivalent, you know, of sitting in a seminar with some PhD at some, you know, a major university and simply learning from him. And this is what Paul did. And he was, he says, you know, later, he says in other places, he was a Pharisee. He kept the law. He was as zealous as anyone there about this law. And of course, we know from, because we've been paying attention in dialogue, and probably we knew it before I ever took it up in dialogue, didn't we? That this man, Paul, hated the church, hated the Christians, was out to kill them. In fact, that's what he says here, doesn't he? I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. Now this is the old Paul. And it is worth, I think, noting and considering that he, at the very first, he's making his defense now. This is what he says before this crowd that want to kill him. And he begins by identifying himself with them and saying, what you are, that's exactly what I was, and more so. I hated these people, and I was after them to kill them. And let me ask you, when you look back at what you were before you were saved, if you're saved, can you imagine, did any of you, were any of you like this? For those of you who may not be saved and who are listening to me, can you imagine anything worse than what Paul was doing? If you think you can't be saved because of your behavior, guess again. The Lord can save you. I don't care what you've done. This is Doug Miller. This is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.